Actually, I'm going to be chairing the meeting today because I have less paperwork than the chair, so something's not fair. We are the Senate Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development, February 9th, 11th, 2009 meeting. We are in, it's 3 p.m., we're in hearing room B. But anyway, we're going to have an informational meeting today on Workforce Investment Board overview. And so we have James Paulson, Vice Chair for the Oregon Workforce Investment Board, and James Sager, Governor's Education Workforce and Revenue Policy Advisor. Welcome.
Sorry for keeping everybody waiting. My name is James Paulson.
James Sager, Governor's Office.
As it was stated, I am the Vice Chair of the Oregon Workforce Investment Board, as well as I'm the Chair of the Local Board for Region 2, which represents Multnomah, Washington County, and the City of Portland. So it's both the state and the regional, is where, from the standpoint that I come from. As well as my day job is, I work as the Director of Staffing and Workforce Planning for the Standard, or Standard Insurance, as a number of people know it. That having been said, I would like to thank the chair, the vice chair, and the board for giving me the opportunity to come before you today and talk to you a little bit about the OWIB and some of the things that we're doing. If you have any questions at any time, feel free. First off, let me give you kind of an overall understanding of kind of what the OWIB is and who we are. The OWIB is an advisory board for the governor. And what the OWIB is made up of labor leaders, public offices, and then it's also really made up of industry folks, much like myself. And so really throughout the state we have a number of boards much like the OWIB, the same kind of composition, and you have a lot of participation from industry, from all different industries around the state. So you really get a great representation of really what the needs of industry are and what's going on with industry. And you really have a dedicated group of people, professionals, who are kind of going up and beyond their role within their company, as well as companies that are saying the work that's going on these workforce investment boards is valuable to us to spend the time. And this is why, you know, I can come down here today with the support of my company to be here and speak with you. Oregon is in a competitive race with the world. We want to grow jobs in this area. We really need to understand that it's really a race for global understanding of who we need to compete globally on a global scale. So what we're really trying to do is we're trying to prepare our workforce so that we have a workforce that can attract the type of companies that we need in this area, so that we can develop individuals within organizations so they can take on more skilled jobs, and so that we can really have strategies in place so that Oregon is competitive. With that having been said, the OWIB's vision is all Oregon employers have a competitive advantage in the global marketplace due to their highly skilled, innovative workers. And we kind of use that as a driving force. It is generally accepted that the state's economy rests on the skills of its workforce. In the global economy, we can't compete on price. We have to compete on our ability to innovate and use higher-level thinking and problem-solving skills. For this reason, the OWIB has advised the governor for the development of skills for the workforce as his highest priority. This is true for all segments of the workforce, the emerging workforce, the current workforce, as well as the transitional workforce. As I go through the rest of my presentation, you will recognize that all of the OWIB's actions and priorities have had an ultimate outcome of increasing the skills of Oregon's workforce in order to assist business and to attract and maintain high-skilled, high-wage employment for Oregonians. As Oregon often does, we use the federal legislation to accomplish our own purpose. We made sure that the board recognized the needs of carrying out the direction of the state as a whole, that the duties of the board meshed with Oregon's vision of a workforce system much larger than the federal acts that really set up our program. The wider definition of workforce systems continues to this day. And it's really trying to look, other than just the federal funding that comes to us, really trying to say, how can we leverage the federal funding that we get along with the different funding sources and different partners that we have, like the employment department would be a good example. And how can we kind of be that piece in between and really trying to leverage those dollars? Because the dollars that we get aren't going to solve the problem. And it's really trying to bring the parties together to really build a system around solving the different problems that we face in developing our workforce. OWIB's strategic plan, Winning the Global Market, was accepted by the government in his strategic plan for workforce development in June of 2006. It is a 5-year plan to transform Oregon's workforce education and training system. Its 3 goals are meant to, first, identify and meet the needs of Oregon's businesses for skilled workers, provide students and workers with the skills employers demand, continue to build an efficient and effective workforce education system. The accomplishment of these goals is aimed at the heart of the issue, to enhance the global competitiveness of the state. And you're going to hear that kind of throughout, is really how can we make ourselves more competitive so that we can attract more business to our area. The board currently has 24 members, as required by the WIA, the Workforce Investment Act. A majority of the members are from business. The remainder are made up from representatives from organized labor, educational entities, local government, and legislators. To reduce the original overall membership of the board from an unwieldy 40 to its current more manageable size, Governor Kulongowski mandated that the required one-stop partner program be represented by one member of his workforce policy cabinet. The governor has added some additional members, such as a third labor representative, and representatives through the workforce policy cabinet, the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department, and the chancellor of the Oregon University Systems. The board membership currently complies with the requirement of the Workforce Investment Act. In recent years, the OWIB has accomplished a number of different things, and I'm just going to kind of skip through them instead of going into deep detail. But we've developed the Workforce Training Fund, which is an innovative use of WIA funds for local incumbent worker training and workforce system capacity building. When all the numbers are in for last year, 2008, we expect that during the period, 9,169 incumbent workers will have been trained in 136 projects with individual businesses in all 15 regions of the state. The OWIB has focused on achieving the strategic plan, winning the global market. The OWIB reorganized its committee structure with that in mind. The chairs of the working committees are now the business members of the executive committee. The executive committee develops policy priorities for the board. The governor has agreed with these priorities. The top 2 priorities, creating this career readiness certificate and expanding career technical education, are all in the governor's recommended budget. And what we've really done there is really tried to look at how can we really engage the folks from the board and really taking the industry folks and where people have a lot of passion, getting them lined up with committees that really can focus in, whether it's education, whether it's communication, or any of the different committees that we have, so that they are more engaged, and then bringing those committee chairs to an executive committee meeting that we meet every month, so that we can really talk and say, how is this work moving forward? What's going on with that work? And then that can help to talk to the overall strategy and how we're trying to move that forward. Whereas with the overall board, we meet on a quarterly basis. And just like any large board meeting, it's really not a place to work. It's really much more of a place of reporting out and doing different voting. Where at the executive committee level, we're able to really engage in conversation and dig deeper. And then in the subcommittees to that, we're even going to go a step farther and really bringing in partners from outside the board structure, so that we really get a much broader understanding of the challenges, and then it's easier to also, again, build a system. And that's really what our overall goal is really to pull the system together. The work plan for the OWIB was focused on supporting and creating and maintaining of high-skilled, high-wage, high-demand jobs in every part of the state. In partnership with the Oregon Employment Department, the OWIB defined just what jobs those are in every part of the state, along with a top 20 list to help guide the investment of training resources. And we've really taken this to another level in the time that I've been with the board, which is probably just over 4 years now, and really partnering up with the the Employment Department data, and really using data to really drive our decisions. And so statewide, and really trying to understand in different areas of the state that have different challenges and different opportunities, and so we can really hone in on what's needed out in Eastern Oregon compared to the Willamette Valley and so forth, and what jobs those are. And so when we really start talking about the local level, they're able to focus on what their needs are in their local area, instead of saying here's a blanket over the whole state. The OWIB developed a manufacturing strategy to raise awareness of the importance of skilled manufacturing jobs in Oregon and to increase high-performance manufacturing practices statewide. This coming year, the strategy will concentrate on connecting the dots of all the work to support manufacturing around the state, such as a new community college manufacturing certificate, expanding technical education and career pathways in manufacturing. The healthcare industry, even in this economy, is creating high-skilled, high-wage jobs in every part of the state. Oregon needs to prepare its citizens for these jobs, both in nursing and allied health occupations. To help coordinate this effort, the OWIB worked with industry and public stakeholders to develop the Oregon Health Workforce Institute, which has become the Healthcare Workforce Coordinating and Advisory Board for the industry, education, and OWIB, and the governor. This was really something that I had a lot of work on really pulling together. Prior to working at the Standard, I worked at Kaiser Permanente, and in my capacity there, which was similar to my role here, really tried to move this forward and really trying to really put a body in place that understood all that was going on, all of the different programs and what people were trying to get off the ground, so we could have one clearinghouse, so we're not doing duplication of work, so that we're getting the most bang for our buck, so to speak. And they've done a good job on getting that organization off the ground and moving that forward. The OWIB developed an influential future workforce needs study in 2008, which identifies the opportunities Oregon has to grow traded sector industries and employment. Following the first recommendation in the study, the OWIB partnered with the Oregon Employment Department and the Oregon Economic and Community Development Departments to identify green jobs for clean technology development. When the report of the project is finalized in June, we will have a clear picture of the green jobs, actually what they actually are in and what industries and locations that exist. It's really easy to say green jobs, but what we're really trying to drill down is for what does green jobs mean for us in our state and the different parts of our state. The OWIB recognizes that the future of Oregon's economy lies in the emerging workforce, the young people of the state. Through the work of its Youth and Education Committee, in partnership with the Department of Community College and Workforce Development and the Bureau of Labor and Industries, the OWIB developed innovative youth apprenticeship models that allow communities to grow their own workforce. The OWIB has also begun to identify other promising practices that can better connect young people to the world of work. The OWIB Communications Committee, along with the Youth and Education Committee, completed its first phase of a development of a communications campaign to connect young Oregonians with high-wage careers. The campaign is unique in that it uses electronic networking and other communication methods that today's youth are comfortable with and where they congregate. The OWIB, along with its stakeholder group, is currently identifying the resources to take this project, now called MyPathwayCareers.org, to a statewide scale. And really, when you look at the stuff that we're doing there and really trying to look at the youth, you know, it's very difficult when you look around a board. It's all adults that are very career-minded. It's been a long time since we've been, you know, 15 years old in high school and so forth. And so it's really hard to look through that lens. And so one of the things that we did is we really reached out to young people and said, how can we help communicate this to you? And then they came back and gave us the feedback, and then we created this website that, you know, it's very different than a website that we might want to go and peruse. And when you see it, you're like, what? It seems kind of busy. But that talks to that audience. And that's what we're really trying to do there, is really understand how can we talk to the different audiences that we serve. And we really see the youth audience as being in particular importance to us. We're also working... Every 2 years, the WIA and state policy require the development of strategic and compliant to local workforce plans. For this year, what we're really doing is we're working with all 15 of the local workforce investment boards, and we're really bringing their plans up and working with those boards on how we can work more strategically together so that their plans and the plans we're doing in the state really are working in concert, and we're really moving that work forward and getting a lot of traction with that. Oregon's workforce system is planning for nearly doubling the WIA resources through the federal stimulus package. We expect increases in employment training resources for adult and dislocated worker funding, an increase in employment service funds, and new summer youth employment programs. While this is a good problem to have, the system needs to do considerable work to assure successful delivery. The system partners have been streamlining and expanding customer service in the WorkSource Oregon centers and identifying the skills of unemployed workers to better match them to expected infrastructure development jobs. This is really key, and this really gets to a lot of the strategic alignment between the state workforce board and the local boards. As we start looking at these potential stimulus dollars, we want to make sure that we're able to get those stimulus dollars in action as quickly as possible. And so we've even said, let's just talk strategically about right now. We have our 5-year plans and so forth, but right now we're in a very special case with the upcoming stimulus dollars. How can we line ourselves up? How can we prepare so if and when those stimulus dollars make themselves available, we're able to take action on them right away? The OWIB is currently taking on a major collaborative effort to work more closely with local boards on service delivery and other mutual concerns, holding itself accountable to maximize the investment dollars in workforce and strengthening partnerships with BOLI and OECD to find ways to work collaboratively and mutually on our mutual goals. For the longer-term future, the OWIB is committed to carrying out its strategic direction along with possibilities of issues the board may tackle are, one, the supply. Oregon needs to get a better handle on the pipeline of students and workers in order to better match them where the demand is. Oregon has a huge problem of underskilled adult workers. Beginning the development of the next 5-year strategic plan, For this legislative session, the OWIB supports the governor's strategies and investments as proposed for the education enterprise. Workforce education and training is a natural part of the enterprise continuum. For the OWIB, highlights of the Oregon's proposal include investment in career readiness certificate to better match the skills of workforce with employer demands, expanding career technical education to increase pipeline of skilled workers, adding flexible general funds into the employer workforce training fund, which is now dependent on restricted federal funds, supporting the workforce coordination position in the Economic and Community Development Department. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and there's a lot of further investment that could very much help us with our strategic goals. But in this economic environment, the investments the governor has proposed will move us forward to better position Oregon for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson. Question I have would be, in all your work with the with OWIB, have any other new industries bubbled up or surfaced that we might in Oregon be considering pursuing, which would also require some maybe some reengineering of our education system as to what courses of education, courses of training we're going to be needing to enter the new, these new industries?
Yeah, I think one of the examples that I'd give, kind of a more local example in Region 2, is when Genentech, a biotech company, was looking at coming into our area, the skill set that they needed was very different, you know. And so what we really had to do is we really play the role of kind of saying, from an economic development standpoint, here's Genentech. Genentech says we have this need for these types of workers. And we have the connections on saying, okay, well, let's get the community colleges in, or, you know, the higher ed schools involved, depending on what the need is, and really bring the parties together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying, where we really have the opportunity on how can we leverage these limited funds and really bringing parties together so that we're able to overcome challenges like that.
So OWIB is more responsive to employers' needs versus actually looking at other targeted sectors or other industries that we might venture into. For instance, I guess I would say that the renewable energy. Mm-hmm. It's a very broad spectrum, but it will require, you know, zeroing in and maybe changing and reengineering some of the education programs and courses that the university system has in the state to kind of, you know, help with that career path.
Yeah, and James could probably piggyback on this, but I think really what OWIB's role in looking at something like that is really to try and get an understanding. And again, it's really to kind of tie the pieces together. We are not the education system, nor can we say, hey, mm-hmm. we need to move in this direction. But what we can try and do is we try and use our influence to try and influence them and give them the information that they need. Because when we come and we say, here's the industry, here's the employers, here's what they're needs are, and then we have community college sitting at the table with us, and we can engage in that conversation to say what types of workers are going to be needed. Is this a short term? Is this a long term? So we really take a strategic look at things and help to influence bringing those things to fruition.
Good, good. Any other questions?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I forgot about that.
You're talking about the global market, and there's always this worry that we are losing jobs, and yet a lot of our jobs are ending up in, I'll take the nursery industry for example, that some nursery growers are now taking their industry to China because it's cheaper and the labor force is cheaper, et cetera. And this may not be what you need to do, but mm-hmm. are people looking at, you know, so many of the products that you buy in the stores are from China, and obviously that's where the jobs are. Have you looked at, you know, the migration of jobs? to the other countries around us and overseas?
I think, I haven't done that analysis specifically, but when I put back on my business hat, and the biggest challenge that I have as a native Oregonian, somebody who really loves this state, is I hate the fact that I have to recruit for talent outside of the state, where I have to go to the East Coast, where I have to go down into California to bring the talent back up here. As an employer, that's very expensive. That's not the way that we could be growing our state. We need to grow that talent here so that we don't need to move. When you start talking about businesses going offshore and that sort of thing, that's a whole different challenge than the workforce challenges that we're focused on. So our focus is really much more around how can we make it more competitive here so that employers might say, I don't want to move my business outside of the state. I want to grow my business here in the state, or I want to bring my business to the state. That's really where our focus is. And when we say we want to be globally competitive, and it's really about our workforce, the workforce that we have here in this state being competitive across the globe. So when we start looking and companies that are growing up in these emerging markets and they start saying, we want to locate in the United States instead of the United States going overseas, we want them to look at Oregon as a potential possibility of where they might want to locate that organization.
Just a little follow-up.
Sure.
It would
sure.
be nice. It would be nice if we. I like the idea of buying our own and growing our own. But as long as we can get products cheaper from overseas, and again, that's probably a federal issue regarding importing and tariffs and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's outside your scope, and I do agree with you regarding growing an arm and making sure the workforce here is very well trained.
Yeah.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Telfer, could I use that as a segue into a few other comments?
Perfect segue.
Because as I'm sure all of you have heard the governor over the years talk about the fact that he believes that we've done a disservice in this country over the last couple decades, especially to our young people, giving them the message that you're only of value to us if you pursue a four-year degree, mm-hmm. when in fact what we need are a lot of highly trained people who, beyond high school, get training and education that prepare them for the workplace. In fact, the over 80% of the jobs that are projected to open up, whether through expansion or retirement here in Oregon over the next decade, require training beyond high school, but they don't require a four-year degree. Now, you may get on a career track that leads to that, which is great, but it changes the way then that you look at the education and training system, and it begins to blur the line between what we normally spend our time on, which is that kind of traditional pipeline of, you start in kindergarten, work your way through. Students that leave 12th grade in any year have basically no impact on the Oregon economy or the Oregon workforce. Now, we want to train them well. We want them ready to choose whatever path they want to take after high school. So I'm not downplaying that. But the Workforce Board has been instrumental in helping us get our heads and hands around the need of our adult Oregonians and the training that they need. We need young and old people to be trained in our manufacturing business. People don't realize that manufacturing is a major industry cluster, so to speak, here in Oregon. Because we don't have the smokestacks, people don't realize that what we have here in Oregon. That's why it was important, with the help of the Workforce Board and working with our state agencies, to begin developing this manufacturing core certificate so that we've identified what are the skill levels that Oregonians need, whether they, regardless of what manufacturing company they go to work for, but to enter manufacturing. The business community has been very responsive to that. I mean, with the help of the board, we identified what those skill sets were, and we started this relationship because people need to be able to move throughout the industry. So it's not a job-specific training, but really it's a skill set that allows you to go into a variety of jobs. The other thing that, to expand a little bit on what James said, the governor was very clear with the board that he wanted to make sure that our state plan and our local plans were aligned, so we were getting, in essence, the best bang for our buck, and that the focus be on four key areas: healthcare, manufacturing, as you've heard, clean or green technology, and high-wage, high-demand jobs in the region. I mean, to elaborate on what James said, we have the ability now, because of the work of Graham Slater and his shop at employment, to literally look by zip code and say, we have, you know, seven Oregonians who are trained with these skill sets, employer. We can get them to you because you happen to have openings. Mm-hmm. Couple that with the new career readiness certificate that is, it's already out. We're trying to expand it statewide. We're now able to, in essence, pre-screen people so that employers interview from the right pool of potential candidates. And potential employees are sent to the right employers so that we're connecting people. So a major step forward in that work. That also lines in with the education system. And the goals that the Workforce Board have align with the goals that the Joint Boards of Education have laid out, so that it is really one seamless view of how the system works. 11% of Oregonians over the age of 25 do not have a high school diploma. The vast majority of those were not in the Oregon K-12 system ever. They migrated here, just as we have an in-migration of very highly, you know, trained people. And so the system has to be able to identify what those needs are, what the needs of the business community are, and then make sure we develop programs that make that alignment possible and give them the opportunities. The pathway programs the community colleges have created, all these things have developed because of the collaboration between the education system, the workforce boards, and the economic development department, really trying to make sure that we align. To kind of take this a step further, the other piece, I know that Representative Edwards has a alleged concept in that hopefully the legislature will be able to look at, but the governor is very interested in it also, and that is to begin expanding to applied baccalaureate programs. We don't have those here in the state right now, but if you begin to think about, and I'll use wind technology as an example, growing industry here in Oregon. We have Columbia Gorge Community College that has a Windsmith Wind Tech program. But you don't have to go just to Columbia Gorge. In fact, we're aligning other community colleges to provide the base core training that people need, whether they're in Tillamook or in Treasure Valley, to then be able to, either through distance learning or by for year two, go to Columbia Gorge and finish up their training. And these folks are immediately hired. The demand is so great. But what we're discovering and what the industry is reinforcing with us is that's great. Those are the people we need today. But we also need some of those people to be thinking about how do you translate this training and these technical skills into kind of the next level of technical engineering. And, you know, some of the changes that have taken place, I know, again, in the wind industry, with their windmills, change the design of them so, for instance, they don't have as great an impact on the bird population, have come about because technicians have been working and saying, you know, I've been out here looking at this, and I think we could maybe do, you know, this and this, and you get together with an engineer who says, oh, yeah, that might be possible. And so how do you develop those kinds of career ladders for Oregon workers, many of whom never dreamed that they had a place in this industry? But once you get into our system and we open up these doors for young people and adults, we're getting a very positive response from people.
Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Vice Chair Telford.
You're doing a great job.
And I didn't realize I was going to be beset with the Capitol coughing fit in the middle of the hearing, so I'm really glad that you were in charge here. What I wanted to ask you about was just how the current economic crisis is affecting the work of the Workforce Investment Board, because obviously there are a lot of long-range plans that made sense a year ago and probably will make sense in a year or two when we are out of the worst of this downturn. But right now, it's kind of hard to listen to these kinds of programs and not think, but gosh, you know, employers are just trying to figure out how to stay in business. They're not really looking for more workers. And, you know, if there are really, what we hear, you know, hundreds of applicants for every job that's out there, even though we've been told there still are some specialties that are in demand, it's just a very different world than it looked to be a year ago. So how are the discussions and your work being affected, and are you sort of in a crisis mode, or are you just looking ahead long term?
Well, let me start and let James piggyback on back of that. I live in that space on a daily basis. The first thing that I think you really got to understand is really the fact that to really help folks, let's talk about dislocated workers, you really have to have a system in place as far as being able to, say, evaluate one's skills, one's needs for development, and be able to move them on to where those opportunities are. And so we've got that system in place between the state board and the local boards where these people live. We've got the system in place. And so now when you come to a crisis situation like we're in now, and so you say, yeah, there's, you know, a whole lot of people in very few positions. And so what we're really doing from that crisis standpoint is really saying, okay, how can we go and evaluate individuals who have been dislocated and then try and pair them up into new careers, new industries where there are opportunities. And then, like, getting back to really looking at if and when these stimulus dollars do come, how can we leverage those? So one of the things is, it's that, you know, that whole term, you know, shovel ready, okay? Well, to stay with that, what we've done is we've said, okay, all the local areas, what are some of your different projects and different things and needs that you have? Pull those proposals together. And so we're having the community college representative collect all of those different proposals, so then as these stimulus dollars get released, we're already going to have a prioritized list region by region as far as what will have the greatest impact on creating jobs, developing people into new job opportunities. Because when you start talking about these emerging jobs, the green jobs and that sort of thing, one of the things a lot of our labor leaders really point out to us is saying, if you want to go up there and you want to put solar panels on your house, you're going to need an electrician, you're going to need a plumber. You know, those jobs are real jobs. They're not necessarily green jobs, but it's really the delivery of those. And so it's really getting an understanding of, as we start moving into these green types of jobs or green avenues of work, what types of worker do you need for those types of jobs? And so we can start preparing workers to crosswalk into those types of jobs. And we've been doing that for a while. So now with stimulus and needs and a poor economy, we can start directing people to more long-term career jobs.
If I might, we've all heard the stories in years past of people being retrained for jobs that don't exist. Because that's where the training dollars were supposed to be spent. And here in Oregon, we have been doing everything possible to make sure we're directing people and training people or retraining people into growing industries, areas where today we might not be growing that industry because of the economy, but as we come out of this recession, in fact, we'll be very well positioned to expand. the first question that the governor has been asked on almost every meeting he's had with a business representative looking to come here for the first time or expand has nothing to do with the tax base. What's your workforce like, and are you committed to help me meet my workforce needs? And we've been sending the message, yes, we have the system in place, we can do it. And even though there are tough economic times, we might not be able to use state general fund money. But in fact, as James said, we're looking already at how we can free up federal dollars to target the needs for Oregon and have the results the federal government's looking for, as well as the results Oregonians are looking for.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prozanski.
James, and this is probably for James Paulson. Your vision statement, you know, it says by 2010, all Oregon employers have a competitive advantage on the global market. I mean, while I'm hearing, of course, is we need money to be able to do the programs. I mean, if we actually had the money, would we actually be able to succeed? It just seems like that vision for such a short period of time is one that we really can't meet. And I know, I mean, this is a wonderful presentation of how the interfacing of finding out what employers need, working with the community colleges at the local level where they can train the people for those regional jobs or those locations. But it seems to me that I don't know if we could actually reach out to every employer in a year's time and actually be able to accomplish this vision.
Yeah, and I think what you really have to think about with that vision is really tied with our five-year plan that we launched started in 2005 and launched in 2006. And so that's been kind of the guiding light. And so that guiding light, as we go back into our strategic planning for the next 5 years, as we kind of come out of where we're at now, you know, we're going to look at that vision and say, you know, what is right about that vision and what might need adjustment with that vision. But I truly believe that we've made some significant strides towards accomplishing that vision and keeping that vision alive in all the work that we do. And so, you know, I look at that vision and I don't necessarily look at 2010 being an end point. I think 2010 is much more tied to the strategic plan. I look at that vision really being that's what we're building toward and we continue to build toward.
Can I follow up?
Yes.
Oh, you kind of segue for me. I mean, maybe you don't have the numbers now, but where do you think we are now that we're 4 years into this plan, knowing that, and I appreciate, we put a goal out there, mm-hmm. we strive to do the best we can, and then reassess. I mean, so where are we in that sense of reaching that plan, and have you all start doing the analysis to determine for the next 5 years, what else can we do to either complete this vision and how that vision will evolve for the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think those are some, you know, some very poignant questions, and I think you're right on, because me, I'm a numbers person. And so one of the things that you really want to look at is what have we been able to do as a state around really trying to develop our workforce? What have we done as far as attracting business to this area based on the fact that we have the workforce? I think those are really good measures around how successful we are at trying to live up to that vision. And when you look at the challenges that we're faced with today, you know, that plays into the numbers. So you say, well, our unemployment rate is worse than it's been in, you know, X number of years, so we must not be doing the right things. Well, that's not true. I think what it is it's like the bottom's fallen out on a lot of economies, and the fact that, you know, we're doing as good as we are compared to other places in the country talks to the businesses that we have here, and everyone knows that businesses are really built on the workforce. So I think that it's hard to measure where we're at, but I mean, as far as where we're going, it's an incremental approach over time, and I think that's what we're going to continue to do. And I think that one of our key goals is really trying to get metrics together and measurements so that we're able to report out as far as what are we doing to affect the workforce in this state.
I know as a
an owner of five businesses in my area, as well as a CPA that's worked with hundreds and hundreds of businesses and been involved with economic development in the Tri-County area of Central Oregon. The biggest comment made by employers is, we can't get trained workers. And so this is very encouraging for me to hear that, you know, we're on the path to make some of those corrections and that we are building into the system and in our progress, being able to identify those areas that we need, those industries we need to shift to and to be able to do it readily. Because I know 5 years from now, we may be doing something totally different. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, we have two large aircraft manufacturers in the Bend area, and nobody knows how to do carbon fabrication mm-hmm. and that type of thing. And so, and that just kind of happened fairly suddenly. And yeah. So, I know we have to be capable of adjusting quickly. And so, I'm feeling confident that the structures in place to respond to those needs.
Vice Chair Telfer, if I might, that's one of the things I find most amazing about this career readiness certificate, and I'm sorry I'm kind of coming back to this, but I think it's important to understand that this isn't just for or designed for the low-skilled person. This is designed for the highly skilled person who maybe has been working in a certain industry for 20, 25 years, and now the plant just closed, and he or she is wondering, well, what can I do? And their whole mindset has been in the kind of job they've been operating, and that job doesn't exist anymore. What this process does, and the certificate does, is it puts people through kind of an evaluation where we can analyze what are your skill sets, and did you realize that these skill sets are needed in all these thousands of different kinds of jobs you've never thought of before. And now, like I said, we can say, you know, here's a company down the street who is looking for people that have these skill sets. So now we're going to match up the right people to the right employers, which I think is going to help a great deal. One of the Oregon companies just in the last few months had 8 openings, and of course they had about 500 people apply for the 8 openings. But they had us evaluate a pool of applicants through the career readiness analysis program. And so we were able to kind of bring the pool down a little smaller. Out of that, they interviewed about 100 people. They said that not only was it the best pool of applicants they'd ever seen, because clearly these people had the skill sets. That's what they were looking for. But then the 8 people they did hire were the 8 best hires they had made in a long time. So it is giving the business community the kind of information and the kind of employees they're looking for and need, rather than having people kind of sitting out there wondering, well, I wonder what kind of job I might be able to do, and kind of wandering from business to business. So not only is this for the low-skilled worker, it's for the highly trained worker that's looking to get back in. It's also for a number of businesses that have incorporated this, even inside the business, to say, if you want to change jobs or you want to move up the career ladder in this company, we're going to reevaluate you as you go along to make sure, again, that you've acquired the skill sets necessary to make this move. So it's a very dynamic model that, quite honestly, we're getting a greater demand from the business community to expand it than we have the capacity to expand yet. But, again, that's one of those programs that we believe we're going to be able to match some federal money to that we're going to be able to expand this statewide.
Vice Chair Telfer, I'd like to also follow up on that and make sure, you know, we give a lot of examples that really talk to big business, but really the tools that we're putting in place are really designed for large businesses to small businesses. Yeah. And, you know, with the career readiness, when you look at a smaller business, it's like, you can't have your own department that kind of evaluates and does these things. You need tools from the community that can help you on that selection side of things. And so we're really designing all of these things so that they fit with whatever size of business is out there, because all businesses need trained workers.
Any other questions of the Jameses? Well, I thank you very much for being here today. It's been very informative and encouraging, and hopefully your parking space is close enough that you will make it back before dark. Anything else? Well, we're adjourned.
Thank you.